This is the Trenches Technology Podcast with your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenches Technology Magazine. On this episode of the Trenches Technology Podcast, we feature two outstanding women engineers who have made their mark in the trenches industry, Denise McClanahan and Jennifer Glynn. Our June cover story highlighted women in engineering as part of International Women in Engineering Day, which is celebrated on June 23rd. We shared the stories of five women engineers, including Denise and Jennifer. Denise McClanahan is Vice President of Granite Inliner, a 700-member infrastructure renewal solutions provider with 17 offices scattered across the United States and Canada. Granite Inliner focuses on curing in place as well as provides other solutions, including construction management, manhole renewal, geopolymer solutions, CCTV, and cleaning services. Jennifer Glynn is a senior technical practice lead at Woodard & Curran, based out of its Sacramento, California office. Her entire 25-year career has focused on designing pipelines using trenchless technology, with her expertise being in large diameter condition assessment and rehabilitation design. She's also a member of our Trenches Technology editorial board. On the podcast, we talk about how they chose the engineering and trenches paths and how the historically male-dominated profession of engineering has evolved during their careers, most importantly with the increase in the number of females who are choosing engineering as a career. They also share perspective on the importance of having female engineering mentors to guide the next generation coming up, a role they are more than happy to fill. Here is my conversation with Denise McClanahan and Jennifer Glynn. So welcome, ladies, to this episode of the podcast. I've been looking forward to this episode and having this conversation about women in engineering and construction and trenchless technology. So I'm glad you both could take part. So let's get started. First of all, I want you guys to kind of introduce yourself to the audience. Jen, can you tell us what your professional background is? Where did you go to school? Where are you working? And what is your specialty?
Sure. I grew up in Massachusetts, so I'm from the East Coast. And I got a Bachelor of Civil Engineering from the University of New Hampshire. And then after that, I got in a car without a job and drove to California. And then found a job here, thank goodness. And right now I'm currently working as a senior technical practice leader for Woodard & Curran. And I'm in the Sacramento, California office. And my entire 25-year career, I've focused on pipeline design using trenchless technology. So, and then over the years, I've developed a particular expertise in large diameter condition assessment and rehab design. And I still do a little bit of everything else as well as a consultant, but that's what I love to do.
And Denise, what's your background?
Well, perfect. So Jen designs it and I get to build it. So I graduated with a Bachelor of Science also in Civil Engineering from Purdue University. I still bleed black and gold today. After school, I got started in the consulting engineering world and started out doing designs and doing some master planning. And I quickly decided that I wanted to build things. So it'd be 20 years ago, this upcoming February, I moved to the construction side of things. And today I get the privilege of leading Granite Inliner. We're a 700 team member, basically infrastructure renewal provider. So we focus on cured in place pipelining, but we also provide services like geopolymer and lateral renewal and CCTV and some mainline assessment. So I get the privilege of leading 17 offices across the United States and Canada today.
That's pretty cool. My next question is, I always find this fascinating when I ask people how they choose their profession, how they went down that path to becoming, going into the career they chose. So start with you, Denise. How did you choose engineering as your chosen profession?
So mine started early. So I was born and raised in Southern Indiana, very rural part of Southern Indiana. And I grew up on my grandparents' farm. I was in seventh grade when we had a career path for a day. So I shadowed one of my best friend's fathers, and he was a civil engineer who was working in a maintenance department. So I went with him for the day. I got to see him do plans. I got to see him rebuilding pumps. I got to see him planning out some things that they had on the construction side, and I was instantly hooked. And Sharon, I went home and I told my grandmother, I said, Grandma, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Purdue University and I'm going to be a civil engineer. And she looked at me as serious can be. And she says, now, honey, why would you want to drive a train for the rest of your life?
Oh, no.
And the rest is history. I went to Purdue, and that's how I got my start, just shadowing another engineer for a day.
That's so cute of your grandmother.
I know.
I know, Jen, when I did the profile of you, you mentioned that your decision to go into engineering, you said it wasn't glamorous. It wasn't a glamorous decision.
No.
How did you choose going into engineering?
Well, I really, like a lot of young kids who are trying to figure out what to do with the rest of their life, I really had no idea. And I knew that I was really good at math and science. I was good at school, and everyone kept telling me I should be an engineer. I had no idea what an engineer was, but I said, okay, that sounds good to me. And so I remember looking at a book of the different descriptions of the types of engineers. And I said, well, okay, the civil actually sounds the best to me, even though I don't really know what they do. So I just signed up for a degree in civil engineering. And it really took me until my junior year to even know what a civil engineer was. And I was like, well, I'm already more than halfway through. I might as well get the degree. That's pretty much how it happened. I had no idea about trenchless technology. They didn't teach pipeline design in college. I graduated in a recession, and I decided to go backpacking through Europe. And when I got back, there were no jobs. And that's when I had alluded to the fact that I jumped in my car and went to California. I did that. I sent out about 300 resumes across the country and got a call from Corollo Engineers in Walnut Creek, California, and pursued that and started my job. And they said, we're going to make you a pipeline designer. And I said, okay. My first job was a force main design that had a trenchless component, and I fell in love with it. And I've been doing it ever since, literally from the first day of my first job. And
wow.
I just kept pursuing those kinds of jobs or projects.
Well, that was my next question too, to follow up to both of you, was what was your introduction to trenchless technology? Jen, can you go a little further what you were saying on how you got introduced to the technology?
Yeah, it was just by accident. Somebody staffed me on a project as a brand new green engineer. I fell in love, and I'm pretty much a go-getter and just started asking for more of that kind of work. And, the next job I got was a lining project. And then after that, another lining project. And it seems like I was gravitating more towards the rehab side of things. And that's how I built up my resume. And it just, the pipes kept getting bigger, the projects kept getting bigger. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, I guess I'm got a pretty good resume in this now.
Well, Denise, how did you come to trenchless technology? It wasn't how you started your career.
No, it wasn't. So I started out and I was doing a lot of inspection work. I was in wastewater treatment plants and I was doing inspections at landfills. And they decided for some reason that I was the one who could write master plans and I could help with the specifications tied to different programs that were going on. And to be honest with you, I just got a little bored. I didn't like sitting behind a desk. I didn't like constantly trying to plan some of the things out for future work. I really wanted to see it get built. So it was 2001 and there was a pre-bid meeting where the then Inliner president and I were the only two that showed up for this pre-bid meeting. The owner conveniently forgot about the meeting. And he started to talk to me about cured in place pipe. We were talking about the design. We were talking about the project that I had just laid out. And that led to, let's go see it. Let's understand more about it. And the more I knew about it and the more I learned about it, the more I was instantly hooked. I love the variety. I love the flexibility. And probably most importantly to me, I saw something that could make a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's always been my goal in life. I always wanted to be a part of something that helped make a difference. And when I saw this product, I knew it was it. So I got my start 20 years ago with the Cured in Place Pipeline product, and we just keep expanding that as time goes on. So that was my start.
Wow. My next question too, it talks about just the engineering profession in general. Historically, has been a male-dominated industry. Over the course of both of your careers, obviously that has changed more and more. I'm curious to what your perspective is and how do you perceive the gains? Have they been incremental or more widespread with women coming into the field? I'll start with Denise.
Yeah. So I think the engineering profession remains diverse. And while I think more men still choose the profession than women do, I think we're gaining ground. I think just because of those numbers in the game, it's been an incremental increase. You know, and I think in order to change that, we've really got to get young women excited about the possibilities. We really need to talk to them about the balance that's possible as they go along the way. And we really need to utilize the situations that Jen and I and other women have been in to share with them the story so they know it's possible. So again, I think it's been incremental, and I think it's on all of us to continue to try to change that through conversation and education.
Jen, from your perspective, I know you talked about in the profile I did that when you got started, there weren't any women at the table. What has been your perception over the years?
I'd say it is drastically different than it was 25 years ago. And I would agree with Denise. It's been incremental. It hasn't been this big, you know, giant wave of change all at once. It's been slow and steady. But yeah, when I first started, I mean, I can remember being on a trade show floor and being the only woman on the whole floor. And there was like 1,000 people there. So that's intimidating. Yeah. I think you might have been there, Sharon. So
I may have.
So it's not like that anymore by any means. And now I go to conferences and I see women presenting and I see them in the audience and I'm so excited mm-hmm. about that. So I think the movement is positive and it's in the right direction. I still think that it is a male-dominated industry when you compare it to other industries, but mm-hmm. but there's been strides for sure.
In the article, each of the women I profiled, you all spoke of the importance of having female mentors and the impact they can have on the next generation coming up of female engineers in construction, et cetera. I mean, how did female mentors encourage you with your career? I mean, were there many out there 20, 25 plus years ago when you got started? I'll go to Jen first. I'm sorry.
No, there were none. I was just talking to Denise about this, actually. There were none to look towards. You know, the mentors I had were all men, but they were men who supported me and championed me because I was a good engineer, not because I was a woman. I had some great mentors moving up and really pushing me to get out there. And I had a great mentor, Bill Simons, who just pretty much forced me to do my first presentation at a conference. And I was mm-hmm. terrified, especially when you're standing up in front of a room full of men and you're talking about pipelines and you're 25 years old. But he basically signed me up and said, guess what? You're presenting at this conference. And I said, oh, great. But no, it's so yeah, the right people behind you makes a huge difference. My other mentor was my mom. My mom is by no means an engineer. She was a stay-at-home mom, not a career woman, but she's the strongest woman I know. And she always supported me. And she always, you know, gave me the courage to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And so it starts early. You've got to support your women at a young age when they're girls and let them know they're good enough. And now, as Denise had said a little bit earlier in one of her other answers, we can be those mentors. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about that. There are mentors out there now for young women coming up. There's a lot of women out there that are willing and able to show them the way and, you know, talk about some pitfalls, what to do, what not to do, and how to make yourself be better out there in the marketplace.
What is your perspective on that, Denise?
So I completely agree with Jen. So as I was coming up, there were no real female mentors out there. You know, I, like Jen, started out, my mom was my first one. You know, my mom was the one who all along was encouraging me to be something more than I probably even knew that I could be. My high school volleyball coach was the second one. I'll never forget. I tore my knee up as a sophomore in high school and I was feeling sorry for myself. I'm 15 years old. And she said, get up. Come on, get up. You can do this. You can recover. You can push forward. You can do this. So I clearly remember Pat Zayer, you know, speaking and saying, Denise, you can do this. As we came through, just like Jen, I had a lot of male mentors. I speak up a lot. So I use my voice a lot. And as soon as I made it known what I wanted to do, I found that I was surrounded by a ridiculously group of talented people that were willing to step in and help me along the way. And it was kind of like what Jen said. There, nobody really looked at me like a woman. They looked at me as an engineer who needed help. And I've really tried to focus my entire career on being an engineer or being a leader who needed help and support. I think today, as you look at it, I think we purposely seek out other women in the industry to share stories with, because we all know that, you know, if we want to succeed at our work life, we have to succeed at home too. So I appreciate the conversations with women at trade shows and in different conferences and things, where we not only talk about that work life, but we also talk about how we balance it with home and how we're successful outside of work too. So I think the number has really grown. And today I think we purposely seek out others to help guide us as we continue forward.
And what can be done, or how can we encourage more women to pursue engineering and /construction/trenchless careers? I mean, what are some of the, like you said, the barriers versus the opportunities? I know, Denise, in your profile, you talked about you don't necessarily have to be a genius in math and science. That might scare people. That might scare male or female candidates off. But what can be done to encourage women in this instance to kind of look at engineering as a way or as a potential career path?
So I personally think the key is outreach, and it's open, honest conversation. I think you have to share the good and you have to share the challenges. So everybody knows that we've all had to get through those challenges together. I think the other important thing is I still think that the sale of an engineering career isn't like it should be. You know, there are women out there that need to know that an engineering degree could get you you could be designing, you could be constructing, you could be in safety, you could be in marketing, you could be in proposals. So I think most of the things we need to focus on to encourage more women are just that, just the variety and the diversity that exists with an engineering career. And then I think you have to hit them early on and let them know that you can do that balance. You know, little girls growing up dream of families. I think it's important to let them know that you can have this career, you can get through the college courses, and at the end of the day, you can have a balance that gets you all of those things you dreamed about as a little girl, like your kids and your family too. That the more we educate and the more we talk about it, the more I think women will continue to be drawn to the industry.
How about you, Jen? What do you think we can do to encourage more women to kind of look at engineering as a career?
I think you have to give them more outspoken role models. I think women who are doing just what they're, you know, being an engineer and being a woman in the marketplace need to talk about it and make them understand. I like what Denise said. You don't have to choose between being a successful professional, a wife, and a mom. You can be all of them. And so just show people that we can have it all. It's just striking a balance. It's about working hard and going after what you want. And it's really not about being a woman. It's about going after what you want. And, you know, there may be a few more obstacles, or they may be different obstacles than a male engineer, but they're not insurmountable. I have a little bit more experience in mentoring young women who have already chosen the engineering career path. And I think that's also really important in the whole mentoring scheme of things, is to help those young people who want to figure out where to go in their careers, you know, teach them how to get out in the marketplace, teach them to get their voice out there, present papers at conferences, volunteer. There's not enough women on the committees that I sit on. It would be great to have their voices. So I like to, the women that work for me, I really push them to volunteer, get out there, present, because I think it's really important for their careers as well as just overall presence of women in the marketplace.
Have you both had women engineers, young women engineers coming up approach you about mentoring, Denise?
Yes. And actually, I'm fortunate to be involved in a company that has a program specifically for that called GROW, where we actually nurture young women coming up through the profession. I also have the privilege, I'm raising three teenage daughters. So between their friends that have graduated and between their friends that are interested, I get a lot of questions about, well, what does it mean? What is an engineer? And how do I do that? And what opportunities are out there? So I'm approached on a regular basis about it.
I know you've spoken throughout this interview, you've spoken, Jen, how you've become a mentor.
Yeah, and we have a program as well at my company. It's not just for women, it's for all young engineers. So I've been a mentor to several different young people, and many of those being women. And I get questions, I get great questions, not necessarily about engineering, but how do you balance? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have a baby. How did you do it? You know, those are really important questions that need to be answered. And, you know, so that they understand the path mm-hmm. to get to where they want to go.
I mean, I've been covering the trenches industry since joining Benjamin Media since 1998, I started. And I've seen a number of women in leadership positions increase over that time, which from my perspective, I absolutely love. What are your thoughts on women in the trenches industry, construction industry, and how their roles and opportunities have evolved from beyond maybe just the public relations specialist role? They've become more, like you said, head of companies. They're in leadership positions at their firms. Denise, what do you think about that?
So I think women are fulfilling all kinds of roles. I think it's, like you said, it's the public relations, it's the HR, it's the mm-hmm. sales side of things. They're filling financial business partner type roles, which is incredibly important as we come up through engineering. We have a lot of women today. We have heavy equipment operators that are women today, women that run crews today, women that are focused on, I want to be an estimator. I want to be a project manager. I want to run my own division. So I think today, I think if you make it known, and I think if you help lay out the plan in front of you, I think the opportunities are endless.
Jen, from your perspective, like you said, you remember a time when you were the only one on the trade show floor or presenting papers. So what is your perspective on how the role for women in this industry has changed and evolved over time?
So from a design consultant perspective, I think it's changed drastically. I see more and more women in technical leadership roles, which is awesome, because you didn't used to see that. They're in the marketing side, the design side, and the construction side. When I first started my career, you may encounter a woman along the way, but there was always the senior male technical guy who was ultimately the one in charge, and she would always defer to him. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore. Now she's the one that you go to ask your technical questions of. There are others around her deferring to her, and that's just amazing. It's definitely changed a lot in the last 25 years. And I love that.
I'm curious too, what your thoughts are on how like the culture and attitudes have changed for us in the construction and engineering industries over the course of your career. I mean, I can remember starting out, there's sexism in the workplace everywhere. It's changing and getting better over time, but we've all encountered those kind of situations. But I guess, what are your thoughts on how all that has changed in engineering and construction? I'll start with Jen.
It's changed a lot. I think I said in my article that I could tell you some stories.
I could <You did. laughs>
tell you some stories that would curl your hair, which is why my hair is so curly. I had to fight really hard in the beginning to get noticed and to have somebody listen to me. I like to refer to it as a seat at the table, because literally there was a story where I went to a construction meeting and I had to sit behind everybody around the table. They refused to make a place for me at the table. Mm. That was a long time ago, and that doesn't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. I think the attitudes have definitely changed. There's more women out in the field in the construction side of things than there ever used to be. And they're well respected because they're excellent at what they do. And it's not because of or in spite of the fact that they're a woman. And that makes me very happy.
Denise, what from your perspective in your chair, what have you seen over time?
So I've been very fortunate to always be a part of teams where if I didn't feel like I had that seat at the table, I just came up and I moved two chairs over and I sat right down between them and said, I'm going to sit at this table with you. I've been fortunate to be connected with good teams that have always treated me just like another one of the guys or another one of the girls and just included me in everything that was going on. I never felt that I really had to fight. I just had to prove myself like everybody else around me mm-hmm. had to prove themselves. I do think that there are some challenges that come along the way, but at the end of the day, you have to surround yourself with really good people. And when you're surrounded by good people, you feel a part of that team and you feel included from the get-go. So I think it's just a matter of developing trust and developing rapport. And again, proving yourself as the best person for the job, regardless of gender or race or anything else out there.
I guess I have a question too. So what advice would you give younger women coming up or those who are in their middle of their careers on getting into engineering? I know, Jen, in your profile, you talked about when you started out, you thought you had to dress and act like a man kind of to fit in.
Yes.
Whereas your position on that evolved over time, that you don't have to do that. You could just be yourself. Let me explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, that took a long time for me to figure out, actually. As a very, you know, I started my career, I was 22, and I was terrified. And I felt like I had to, you know, wear pantsuits and be pushy, you know, just be what I perceived of as things that a man would do in order to get ahead. And, you know, in my aging, in my wisdom, I figured out, no, I don't need to do that. That's ridiculous. I was being somebody else just to get ahead, and it didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. I've learned to embrace the fact that I'm a woman, and the things that make me a woman also make me good at what I do. And it's different than my male counterparts in many ways. But it helps to add to a great balance when you're on a team. So, you know, that's my advice to young women is be who you are, because the things that you offer as a female engineer are great. They're what you offer. They're who you are, and they make you a better person. They make you better at your job. They give you the confidence that you need to move forward and just be you. And you're going to be happier in your career if you do that.
You know, it's interesting what you were saying about the clothes and attitudes, trying to fit in. You always see women, they're always dressed in black. They're always trying to, like, I feel like they're blending in. They're trying to blend in. And my perspective has always been, wear that pop of color, make yourself stand out.
Absolutely.
Let them know you're there, that you have something to say and offer and add.
And they're going to remember you. And that's to your benefit.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I mean, when I read your response to that, I was like, yes, that's exactly how I feel, is that you need to just be who you are and let yourself stand out and let your voice, that way they know you're there, not just blending into the background of what's going on. Denise, what advice do you have?
Well, ladies, my favorite color is red. So you very rarely see me in black. My favorite color is red. So my advice was very similar, and it was being authentic. But the other thing that I think is critical besides being who you are is surrounding yourself with good people. You know, I recently saw this big quote come across one of the things on my screen that said, super women can only be super women when we get the support that we need. And I think it's really important along the way that you surround yourself with those good people, and you really surround yourself with people who are going to challenge you and push you to be better. When you do that, it helps you not only be who you are, but it helps you develop others around you. And as you continue to grow, you can pull people with you. So be yourself, help others be themselves, and surround yourself with people who want to be like you and to want to get to where you are too. I think that's important.
What is it about engineering and trenches technology, I guess, in particular, that excites both of you that has kept you in this industry for 25 plus years? I'll start with Denise.
So my answer to this one is pretty simple. So I always wanted a career where I felt like I could make a difference. And I feel like trenchless really makes a difference. I feel like we're not only impacting our lives, but we're impacting in a positive way lives of things to come, of future generations to come. The other thing that I like is there's always something different. You know, so we might look back to cured in place that, you know, started in 1971, but look at where it's evolved today. Look at all of the technology and the tweaks and the changes that have come along the way. So there's never a dull moment, and the day is never the same. So just excited about being able to make a difference and continuing to grow.
How about you, Jen? What excites you about this industry?
It's so funny. I have the exact same answer as Denise. And it's just from a different perspective. As a design engineer, I love how dynamic the trenchless industry is. There's always new products. There's always something new to learn. I've hardly ever done the same thing twice in my career. And that's pretty impressive when you think about it. It's always different, and it keeps me engaged and excited about learning about new things and presenting them to clients. And then, like Denise said, I love the benefits that the trenchless industry gives to the environment. I'm proud that in just a really small way, my efforts contribute to cleaner water and keeping the environmental habitat intact on projects that I work on.
What are your thoughts on just women in general working and leading in engineering today? And what does the future look like in your crystal ball, I guess? What do you see in the future for women in this industry, in engineering? I'll start with Jen.
I think that the future is very bright. I think that if you just look at the changes that I've seen in my career and you project that into the future, it's just going to, we're just taking over the world. Mm-hmm. I think it's, I don't know if the men listening to this are going to like that answer, but
I love that answer. I love that answer.
No, I think it's just getting brighter and brighter. That when you have more mentors to look up to, you're going to be compelled to enter the industry. And so it's just going to snowball and it's super exciting.
Yeah, I noticed at No Dig the past couple of years, you look at the student chapters, the students that come, there are more and more females in those groups coming to volunteer at No Dig each year, which
yes,
I always find encouraging and awesome.
Yes, yep. That's the future generation right there. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
How about you, Denise? What are your thoughts on all this?
I agree. The future's bright. I think the possibilities are endless and the future's bright. I think we have to just continue the conversation and help guide and lead young women today to make the choice to do something that today they may not know enough about. So I think it will continue to get, I think it'll continue to get better. And at the end of the day, I think it's important to remind everybody it can be ridiculously rewarding. So I'm proud to be a part of what I do. I'm proud to have done that at the same time raising three teenage girls and leading them down a path. It can be ridiculously rewarding if you just stay the course and be true to yourself along the way.
Well, that's a wrap on this episode of the Trenches Technology Podcast. My thanks to you, Jennifer Glynn and Denise McClanahan, for joining and sharing their perspectives and journeys. To read more about women in engineering, check out the June issue of Trenches Technology, which is available in your mailbox, inbox, or at trenchestechnology.com.
This has been a Trenches Technology podcast. To hear more of my conversations about the trenches industry, go to trenchestechnology.com/podcast.